let us proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Folks, as we said, today is a testimony of praise and prayer. It's an opportunity for all of us here, anyone here, to take the microphone and to give thanks to God for what God has done and what God is doing and what you know God will do in your life, to give testimony of God's excellencies, how excellent God is in every way. And then to pray for one another, to pray to the Lord for God to act on His faithfulness and His mercy and His goodness. So before we do that then, we want to look into His Word. We want to look into His Word, where His Word tells us to proclaim the excellencies. Let us proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness. Our text is in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and it is verses 4 through 10. Now, before we take a look at that text then, I want us to give us a little context here. Who is the author? The author is the Apostle Peter, and he is writing to a persecuted church. He is writing to a persecuted church to encourage them to stand fast in their faith. Now, we know that over the last 10 or 20 years or so, our culture has turned a little more hostile to the faith in this country than it once was. But folks, as we know, that's nothing like the hostility that the church has faced in the past, and certainly at the time when Peter was writing to the church that was being persecuted. And even now, nothing like what happens in this world today and many other places around the world. But here Peter then was writing then to a people who were undergoing severe persecution and encouraging them to stand fast in faith. Peter wants to assure them in their faith. He wants to assure them that those who suffer as followers of Jesus will be lifted up by Jesus. He tells us, too, that the church, the followers of Jesus Christ, is the new temple, the new Israel, and the new people of God. And he tells us, too, that we must set our hope not on the things of this world, but set our hope on what? Eternal things, and on the eternal inheritance that we have in Christ. And as believers, we are strangers. We are exiles in this land. We're exiles in this world. But we're called to bring glory. We're called to bring glory to God in a hostile world. And how do we do that? We bring glory to God by being faithful witnesses of the mercy and kindness in Jesus Christ, and persevering then, enduring through suffering. So with that then, let's look at our text then in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Peter says, "As you come to Him," that is to Jesus, there's that vital relationship with Jesus Christ, "as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious." See, Jesus was a living stone who was also rejected by men, but He too was chosen by God the Father. It's precious. So as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So as followers of Jesus Christ, there's a follower, a disciple. A follower of Jesus Christ is one who has put his or her trust or confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, for forgiveness of sins, and eternal life in his name. And so as a follower of Christ, the text here is telling us then that we are a spiritual house, a spiritual house. Well, there was a physical house. Remember, Peter is writing to believers now that they have been scattered throughout the world. And at one time, they may have worshipped in Jerusalem, where there was the temple, the house of God was in Jerusalem. Now, do you need to go to a particular place to worship God? Now, you can worship God anywhere, right? Because God is present everywhere. But here, we're told then that this physical house in Jerusalem, where the people would go to worship God there, that you are now that spiritual house, just as God resided in a special way in that temple in Jerusalem, and the people would go there to worship and to pray. Well, now we are that very temple. You're the new temple of God. And so if you want to go and worship in the temple, where do you need to go now? Right where you are, right? Because the temple is in you. The temple is in us. God dwells within us. And so you are a spiritual house where God dwells in a special sense. Also then, as followers of Christ, we are a holy priesthood. Now again, as we think of that temple complex in Jerusalem, there the temple was, and there would be persons who would minister in that complex. They were the priests. And what did the priests do? What was their main job? Intercession prayer, that was one. But what else? Offering up sacrifices, right? So if you wanted to offer up a sacrifice, you would go to the temple, and a priest then would offer up a sacrifice on your behalf there. Now again, these sacrifices that were offered up, were these sacrifices offered up in order to forgive sin and remove it completely from us? Well, they were offered up in obedience to God, but ultimately, could animal sacrifices forgive sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? No, they couldn't. So why did God tell people to do that? Well, because what? They were a foreshadow of what was to come in Christ, because only the blood of Christ can forgive sin and cleanse from all unrighteousness, right? Amen. So these priests, though, would offer up these animal sacrifices in the temple. But now we don't need to do that, because Jesus is the Lamb who has offered up himself once for all time. So we are a holy priesthood then, that we are also then now called to offer up sacrifices, but not animals. But what kind of sacrifices then are we to offer up?
Praise.
Sacrifice of praise. And that's what we're going to do today. Right? Sacrifice of praise. Honoring the name of God. Adoring who God is and what God has done. So we are called to offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and obedience. That we offer up the sacrifice of ourselves. We are living sacrifices. The animals, what those were, dead sacrifices. But we are living sacrifices called to offer up praise and ourselves, our very lives. All that we have and all that we are. So as followers of Christ, we are a spiritual house. And we are a holy priesthood. And we are also then a chosen race. A chosen race. You see, the nation of Israel was chosen. It was chosen by God out of all the nations of the world to bear God's name and to serve as his witnesses. Now, God had some other purposes for Israel in calling them. But among them were what? To bear the name of God and to testify to him in the world. And so then, Israel was chosen out of all the nations of the world to do that, to bear God's name, to serve as his witnesses. But now, as followers of Jesus, we too are a chosen race. We are what? People who have been chosen out of all of the people of the world to bear the name of Jesus and to serve as his witnesses. So God has called you and me as followers of Jesus to proclaim his name to all the world, to proclaim his salvation. So we as followers of Jesus are a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices of praise and obedience. And we are a chosen race, chosen out of all the people of the world to bear the name of Jesus and to serve as his witnesses. And so then too, as followers of Christ, we are God's own people. That is, you are God's precious possession. Anybody here have a precious possession? Maybe one or two, something that, you know, it's always one of those interesting questions, right, that we get sometimes is if there was a fire in your house, heaven forbid, but if there was a fire in your house and everyone was out safe, and even pets out, or everyone is out safe, okay, but you could only bring one thing, one item out, what would that be? Cell phone. Okay, that's a good one. All right, that's a precious possession for Steve. I see where your heart is. All right, who else? All right, let's just do this now. Who else? What would you bring out? If you had one thing, one precious possession, what would you bring out? Your Bible. That's a good one to bring out, isn't it?
I would try to drag my whole devotional set.
Your whole devotional set. Okay. All right. Okay. So that's interesting to think about then. You know, what is a precious possession? What is the one thing that you would take out if you could do that? Well, I got news for you. If there was a fire in the house of God, you know what God would bring out? Us. You are his precious possession. You are God's own people. We are a people that belong to him, are precious in his sight. And so we are called then to proclaim his greatness. So as followers of Christ, we are a spiritual house. God dwells within us. We're a holy priesthood to offer up sacrifices of praise and obedience. We're a chosen race, chosen from all the people of the world to bear the name of Jesus and to testify to him. And we are God's own people, a precious possession. We are also then recipients of life. Now this life is what? Eternal life. Scripture says that there is a judgment for sin. What is sin? That is our moral rebellion against God, against God's law. And how many of us are guilty of transgressing God's law? Are you? I am. In fact, the scripture says what? We all are. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? And that's what's wrong with the world. That's what's wrong with me. That's what's wrong with all of us, is that we have transgressed God's law. And there is a consequence for that. That consequence is God's judgment on that, which is death. But Scripture says, though, that God has provided, and God who is just must judge that, but God who is love has provided a way to both judge that sin, as he must, but also show mercy and grace to people, to sinners, and deliver them from his own judgment. And not only deliver us from the judgment due us, but in its place to give us what? Life. Eternal life. So we are recipients of life. Eternal life. Abundant life in Christ. But then finally, then too, as followers of Christ, we are recipients of mercy. We were justly due judgment. But God has given us mercy and life instead. So I'm beginning to prime the pump a little bit here for us. The pump for their testimony of praise and thanksgiving. So what am I to do with this? Well, I want to take us back where we started and say, let us proclaim, as Scripture says there in our past, let us proclaim the excellencies, the greatness and the goodness of God. God's excellence. Let us proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness, out of judgment, out of death, and into light and life in His name. So we've had the text to prime that pump a little bit for us. I'd like us to take a few moments here then too to further prime that pump for testimony by just reflecting a little bit on the excellencies of God. Let us proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness. Let's talk about the excellence of God's nature. What is God's like? God's nature, what is God like? What are His attributes? What are His defining characteristics? How might we describe Him?
Love.
What else?
Holiness.
What else?
Light.
Okay.
My shield.
Trust. He is just.
Faithful.
All right, I heard that. Both of you said, now this was something, Dennis and Rachel said it at the same time. And I don't think, you weren't looking at each other, see, but what was it?
Merciful.
Okay. All right, what else?
Truth.
Faithful.
Sovereign.
A friend?
Powerful.
Just. Well, you won't be surprised as I thought about this. Those were the very words that came to my mind as well. But let us just reflect on that for a minute. The excellence of God's nature. What is God like? As we said, God is powerful. How powerful? All powerful. Now, you know, I can't resist this. I have this favorite illustration of God's power. And then recently, I told you, some of you heard this, that I learned something new about it that just even further blew my mind. So if you've heard this before, I want to indulge your patience here. But if this is new to you, let me just blow your mind for a second here on the power of God. How powerful is God? We say, oh, all power. He can do all things. There is nothing too hard for Him. And that's true. But do you ever think from just, well, what does that mean to say that God has all power? Let me give you a favorite illustration that even this illustration doesn't even begin to tap what it means when we say that God has all power. Here it is. You know that there's a star not too far from us, a mere 93 million miles away. Okay? We call that star the sun. And think, how much power does the sun have? immense power. Did you know that every 2 seconds, one, two, every 2 seconds, the sun emits enough power, just radiates out into space. It emits enough power to power human civilization for 1 million years. And you think about that, that every 2 seconds, well, how much power does it take to run human civilization? How much energy does that take every day? And the sun is just leaking that out into space. Enough for 1 million years of that every 2 seconds. Now that, I used to stop there and say, well, what's that have to do with God? Well, who created the sun by his power out of nothing? God. And I used to stop there and it was just like, wow, that was amazing. And it is. But then I learned something recently, and you know, I knew that, I mean, the star, I mean, our sun is pretty, but you know, really, as stars go, our sun is pretty average. And that there are stars much bigger and more powerful than our sun. And so I did a little research there, and I discovered the most powerful star in our galaxy that we know of, that we have discovered to this date. There's one, it's about 9,000 light years away. It is called UY Scutae. It's kind of a strange name for it. And we'll go into the explanation for why it's called that. But it's called UY Scutae. It's about 9,000 light years away. And how big is this star? Do you think you could put 10 of our suns inside of it? Sure. Could you put 100 of our suns inside of it? Sure. How about 1,000? Who says 1,000,000? You could put 1,000,000 of our suns inside of it. How about this? 5 billion. It is 5 billion times bigger than our sun. Now, if our sun every 2 seconds puts out enough power to run human civilization for 1,000,000 years. How much power do you think a star that is 5 billion times larger than our sun, how much power does that emit?
5 billion times more.
5 billion times more. That sounds logical, but that's not correct, and I'm not going to explain why that's not correct. But let's just say a lot more, yeah. A lot more. And guess what? That's just one star. Even as amazing as that is, that's one star. And our galaxy is a couple of 100 billion stars. And our galaxy is one of a couple of 100 billion galaxies that we know of. And so think about that power that is just radiating in out into the universe. And who is the one who called all of that into being by his power out of nothing? Now, does your concept of God being all-powerful, has that changed a little bit here? And why we would do well to proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness? So God is all-powerful. God is ever-present. He is everywhere, always with you, no matter where you go. He is there. God is everywhere in the creation at all times. You don't have to say, Lord, can you come here? I need to talk to you. Because he's already there, isn't he? So God is all-powerful. God is present everywhere. God is God knows everything. Now, some of us might think that's a little scary, that God knows absolutely everything about you. He knows everything about me. And that can be a little scary, can it? But isn't it great to know, though, that this God who knows absolutely everything about you is also the God who loves you more than we can even comprehend and has redeemed us and has given us life? In spite of the fact that he knows everything about us, he has redeemed us and called us friend, right? And the fact that God knows everything about him means whether you and I, we don't have to, well, we can't hide from him, but we don't have to try to cover things up, and we can be totally honest in our own hearts because he knows the truth anyway. And he loves us anyway. So God is all powerful. God is present everywhere. God knows everything. God is sovereign. There is not a thing that happens, including the flip of a coin. There is not anything in this world, in this universe, that does not happen according to his sovereign will. Now, I don't proclaim to understand fully what the sovereignty of God over everything, including a coin flip, means. I do know that Scripture proclaims it. But it does mean then, too, that I know that we're not living in a world of random chaos and chance. God is in charge. God is in control of everything. Nothing catches him off guard, and he never has to sit there and think, what am I going to do about that now? Right? God is all powerful. God is present everywhere. God is all knowing. God is sovereign, in control of all things. God is holy. His nature is perfect and pure. There is no sin in him. God is truth. Everything that he says is true. He never lies. God is just. God will always be. Now, I know we look at we see injustice all around us, don't we? But God, who is just, will have the last word on all of it, won't he? God is just, and he will do what is right. God is loving. Oh, isn't that good? Could you imagine a God who had all power, all knowledge, was present everywhere, was holy and just, but was not love, was not merciful, was not kind or patient? Isn't it good to know that God, who is all of those things, is also then love? Unconditionally committed to you and to me in Christ for our good. That God is merciful, forgiving of sins. That God is gracious, who pours out blessing super abundantly beyond anything that any of us deserves. I asked someone this morning, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Far better than I deserve." And I thought, you know what? You and me both, right? God is gracious. God is patient. Are you glad that God is patient? Now, it doesn't mean that God is infinitely patient forever and ever and ever, does it? There are limits. Even God has limits on patience. There comes a time. But isn't it good to know how patient he is? That he is faithful. You can trust him. He's going to keep the promises that he's made. And then, too, he is unchanging. All that we have said is worthy of his praise. But what if tomorrow God decided he wasn't going to be loving anymore or just, or he changed in some way? You know what? I'm not going to honor that promise after all. You know what? We don't have to worry about that because God, who is infinitely perfect in every way, cannot change, does not change. He is absolute perfection in every way. And that means he does not change, that he is faithful. And so our lives and our eternity are secure in his hands because he does not change. That's the excellence of God's nature. The excellence of God's deeds. Well, let me give just a few things to make us think about. How about creation? The creation of all things out of nothing. How about redemption? The giving of eternal life to people like me, to people like us who didn't deserve it. And how about his care, his providential care in our lives, what we have seen him do in our lives? Let's proclaim the excellence of God's deeds. God's nature, who He is, God's deeds, what God has done. And then to the excellence of God's promises. Boy, there's a lot of promises in the Scripture. Let me just list three of my favorite ones. There's a lot of favorites, but I'm going to just list three of my favorite promises of God in Scripture. This one is what? I will never do what? I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is a friend who will never abandon you. How about this? I will forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. I've had to use that one once or twice in my life. Has anybody else ever had to use that one? Claim that promise? Actually, it's not once or twice in my life. I was going to say once or twice every minute, right? I will never leave you or forsake you. I will forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But here's my favorite of the favorites, what that He will complete what He has begun in us. That He's not going to leave us hanging. Our salvation is absolute, full, and complete the moment we trust in Christ. But there are elements or parts of that we do not yet currently experience in its fullness, do we? And God says He's going to bring us to that point where we do experience in fullness what is already ours by faith. He will begin. He will complete what He has begun in all of us. He will bring our redemption to its final, ultimate state. So the excellence of God's nature, the excellence of God's deeds, the excellence of God's promises. So how are we going to apply the text? Well, then let us proclaim God's excellence. Let us proclaim God's excellence. Now, I need a microphone. Who's got the mic? Frank, do you have the microphone here? Okay. The reason we're doing this, we want this to go on to our tape, but we want Charlie to be able to hear it as well there. So, and we want everybody to be able to hear it here. So I know that there's some of you here that want to give a testimony of praise here today, and here's your opportunity. What do you need prayer for? What do you want to give thanks to God for today? A testimony of praise and prayer. Maureen, I'm looking at you to start us off here. Maureen?
Actually, I'm going first.
Oh, you're going first. Okay. Is your mic on?
I think it's green.
It's green.
Can you hear it?
Now we hear it. That's better.
Okay.
Go ahead.
First and foremost, I'd just like to praise Christ. I'm so thankful for Him. I came to Christ a little bit later in life, and life has been so much more rich and full, and everything's so much more poignant since I've known Christ. And just so thankful for that. And I was talking to Brother Crockwell the other day about heaven and how we're just in a shadow of what heaven's compared to heaven. And just how vivid and how awesome it's going to be to be in the presence of the Lord someday. And even on my worst days, you know, I'm stuck in traffic and things are going on at home. Things are going on at work. And you're sitting there, and if there's nothing else to praise, you can still praise Christ and for all that He's done for me in my life. And it's just awesome. There's not words to describe it. But I just want to start off with that. Thankful for Christ and all He's done for me.
Amen. Amen. Maureen.
I had a hard time trying to think of what I wanted to say because there's so much. I want to give God the glory. What a magnificent God we serve. He's a father beyond all fathers, and a mighty, generous God. Years and years ago, 5 years before I met Jim, I was a single mom because my youngest daughter's father had died. And I was working at what was called minimum wage, $5 an hour job at a nursing home. And it was the greatest school of all. I have to tell you, it was wonderful. And I learned how much God loves us and how He cares for His people. But beyond that, I have to tell you there were many, many struggles in being a single mom. I had a lot of fear from my two daughters. I was concerned for them. And yet God has brought them through. They both have married godly men, and they have godly children. So I'm very thankful for that. Aside from those concerns, there were many, many financial concerns, as you may guess. But the Lord taught me something very early in my walk with the Lord. He taught me about tithing. And I have to tell you, when God says for us to give him a little bit, he asked us to give a tenth of what we have to him back into his work, that God is faithful. I have never lacked for anything. I love giving away gifts and clothes, and I can't tell you how many people give me clothes and gifts. My closets are overflowing. It's one of my biggest concerns right now. Getting rid of some of those things so that my children don't have to deal with that in the future. Jim and I are in the evening of our lives, I would say. We don't know how long the Lord is going to let us stay on this earth, and we do have some health difficulties, but he has not given us any more than what we can deal with on a day-by-day basis. And he's taught me to take one day at a time. So when I do that, when I am faithful to God to give my tithes and offerings, God has blessed beyond measure. And I cannot outgive a generous God. None of us can outgive God. And I firmly believe that if we, as a church, would each one give what God has asked us to give, there would be no needs in this church that would go unmet. So I just want to encourage you to honor a faithful God, because he is faithful. And he will bless you. And I just hope that as I was thinking today about what I wanted to say, I wanted to encourage one person here that's having financial difficulty. And when Jim and I got married, we were $500 a month behind in our bills to pay our bills. Through tithing and doing what God has taught us to do, we paid off every one of the bills that I had. I came with a lot of bills. He had a lot of health difficulties, and so there were many bills. But God is faithful, and he has allowed us to take care of those bills and even pay for our house. So I'm thankful to God, and I just pray that if nothing else, if you don't get anything out of this, that you learn, look in the Old Testament and see what God says about if we do what he says, he honors that and he blesses it. Thanks for listening.
Someone else? Tony?
I wanted to say thank you, first of all, for God's people who prayed for me and my family during my rough bout with surgery recently, and forever in your debt. But what I wanted to say today is basically this. Earlier, Pastor was asking what we thought a description of God was, and I said light. And when I accepted Jesus Christ, that day the light went on. Because of that, God bugs me. He's always bugging me. So once you're in the light, you can't hide from it. Everything you see around you, you're aware of it. It may get you down at times. But, you know, all the things going on in the news, you have to physically pull yourself away from that once in a while and know of the Lord's promise. Pray for those who may not understand that so that they may come to find the light. But in the meantime, rest assured knowing that as things fall apart around us, that we have a promise from His Majesty, the Almighty God, Father God, that if we stay on the path that Christ described to His disciples and then His disciples to us, that we have nothing to fear. So I'm thankful for the light and how it opened my eyes and made me aware about everything around me. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
I just want to say I concur with my sister, what my sister said about tithing and paying your bills. The simple thing I want to say is, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid the bill that I couldn't possibly pay. You are my all in all and my everything. And I praise your holy name.
My turn. Heard somebody mention a little while ago that how the next 15 years might go by so quickly. We'll stop and look back at the past 15 to 17 years, how quickly they've gone by. I thank the Lord for Pastor Dan. He's been a rock in our lives and changed the way this church is run. And his love to teach and preach the word is just amazing. And I thank God for him.
Well, as many of you know, 5 months ago I lost not only my husband, but best friend. And I just want to say praise to God that he has never left my side. From that day on, I have felt and seen God's presence alongside me. When I get down and things are just not looking good, God is right there, and there's always something that turns it around. He is always faithful, and he has never and will never let me down. And I praise him for that.
I hope I say this right. Every once in a while, I look up to God, and I wonder, how can my father love me? I have all these thoughts. Sometimes my mouth gets a hold of me. But then if you go to the Word of God, I do, every word of it is so true. And he loves me. He loved me before I even accepted him as my Savior. How much more does he love me now and will bring me through this? But there are other ways he shows his love, by people like you. And sometimes he lets things happen to you so you can see how much people really care about you. So I praise him, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and someday I shall see him face to face, and I'll know I love him more and more, and he's going to smile at me and say, well done.
I just wanted to thank the people of this church for their prayer support and for being there at times when our family has needed encouragement, and I'm very thankful for that, and for Pastor also. And it seems like God's been continuing to grow us in our faith, Ken and I, and show us things that we still need to keep learning and keep trusting, and I'm thankful that he's sovereign. And I'm thankful for in the words of one of the songs that we sang this morning, let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord, and I will trust in you, Lord. And I am confident because God is sovereign, and I've seen him take myself and my husband through some very difficult days, and I know he's going to be there in the future, and it's not over yet. We've still got some very difficult things that we continue to deal with daily. Pain. Ken and I struggle with almost constant, very, very bad pain, and we've got financial problems that seem to keep on going because of some of our physical problems. And there isn't a day that goes by that I don't miss our daughter that went to be with the Lord several years ago. And so there's still struggles, but I am seeing God at work in each and every one, each and every situation, that he's continuing to grow me and my husband in our character, and I'm so thankful for that. And this church has been a big part of that. So I'm thankful for this church, and I guess that's it.
I have a prodigal child in my life, and I have been praying for him that the Lord would keep him in his sight and surround him with God's people so that he would hear the word and know people who walk in the word, have a different perspective than the other influences that surround him. And with the things our kids are shown and taught today in the media and the internet and these types of things, they're so anti-God and even anti any kind of morality, it seems. But yet God has been so faithful in sending people that speak the truth of morality and righteousness and love and grace to my son. And I pray that, I thank God for answering that prayer for us, and that he will continue to do so. And I just praise him for keeping the influence of the church as a shield for my son. And I also am reminded at those times to pray for all of our children, the lost and the saved, especially the lost. But I also pray that our children that do know the Lord will be empowered to speak to their friends and other children about the difference Jesus Christ has made in their life, so that they can lead others to him, just as those people in my son's life are attempting to do.
I'm thankful to the Lord because it seems like every day I blow it somehow. I think something, I say something, I do something that I didn't want to do. And I'm just so grateful for mornings. This is Lamentations. And yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him.
I'm grateful to God for the changes he's made in my life. I've been married 52 years. You ladies that have your husbands coming here and worshiping with you, you should thank God for that. I don't have that. And so when I started to love the Lord and follow, I thought, how's this going to work? The guy I'm with for 52 years, he's not on the same page as I'm on. And I was worrying about that, and evidently the Lord knew that. But I had to make some changes in me. Our house was a noisy house. I was a loud clanging bell. He'd come at me and I'd come back at him. And God put a spirit, I mean, a quiet, he zipped my lip. I'm quieter, I'm more patient, more understanding, more forgiving. And somehow that rubs off on my beer-drinking, biking husband. I see him now quieter. And I even get this guy, when we have friends that are fighting cancer, like Tony here or whatever, I get him to hold my hand and pray for that person. I never thought I'd see that day. Never. And so things aren't perfect. You know, we're unevenly yoked. But we're getting through it, and what he sees in me is somehow rubbing off on him, and our house is much quieter, and things are much better. And I just want to thank God for that wonderful thing that he did to me that seems to rub off on him. And Pastor, I want to tell you too, when I came to this church, the one thing I did, I prayed, I said, Lord, because I didn't know you, I said, if this guy, this pastor says anything and there's not truth in it, I want you to whisper in my ear and tell me so I know, because I want to know what's true and what isn't. And in the 13 years that I've been coming, God has never whispered in my ear. When you're up there and you're preaching the word of God, he has never once said, Pam, that's not true. He has never, you know, made me feel that anything that came out of your mouth wasn't the truth. So we're lucky. We're very lucky, and I thank God for that.
Hi, my name is Dennis, and I'm a sinner. I think we should probably start out like that, because it's pretty appropriate. I feel lukewarm most of my time. I feel like my relationship is me letting God down and then God forgiving me. Pretty much all the way throughout everything we've done, it's been hard for me. It's been hard for me to be obedient. I'm pretty rebellious. I don't really like rules all that much. And I'm trying to change and work on that. When I first became a Christian, I was later in life too. And the first time I ever gave any significant money to God, I was bitter about it. It was hard for me. I gave him a couple $100, which at the time for me was like 30 or 40% of my wages. And I was mad when I went home, and I was angry at myself for doing it. And it just started this started to change in my life. Because God says he likes a cheerful giver, right? Not the guy that gives and goes, what did I do that for? What? But it wasn't that way. I gave that money, and I was really sorry I did it. And I was really like emotionally torn about it. But I can say over the years, it grew me. It grew me in faith. Given out of faith like that, even though I was bitter about it and I wasn't cheerful about it, God used it and used it and changed my heart to giving, because I think we should give. And, you know, as you start to really learn the scriptures, you know, the gold is mine, the silver is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. God doesn't need your money. It's not about you giving to God. It really isn't. And I mean, I didn't know that. And I'm like, what are they going to do with it? How, you know, faithful obedience and everything. And it was just, it was really difficult. But over the years, it's gotten incredibly easy. I'm passionate about it. I love it. I love giving stuff away. I love it. Like I said, you know, I'm a scumbag and a sinner, and God keeps forgiving me. And I just want to do the right things. And I pray that that you guys will help me pray to become a better man and a better leader for our family. And I pray for patience. And I'm grateful that God cares more about our character than he does our comfort. And I pray, Lord, that you make me uncomfortable. Don't crush me, but make me uncomfortable. And we're so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful for the forgiveness of sins and another day to try again.
Amen. Amen. Frank, you have the mic. Close us in prayer, would you?
Sure. Father, thank you for everybody's testimonies here. Thank you for all the work that you've done in our lives. Thank you for all the examples and the encouragement that we get from hearing each other's testimony and praises to you. We could do this all day. We could do this for hours and hours. We could continue to tell stories and to testify to your faithfulness and your love for us. And we thank you for that. We're so grateful for Christ. And it's in Christ's name we pray, Father. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.